I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Now it's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about what's in the news and what's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week are writer and culture critic Jimmy Israel, Michael Steele, the former chair of the Republican National Committee and the former lieutenant governor of Maryland, is with us, back with us. Civil rights attorney Arsalan Iftikhar, they're all here in our Washington, D.C. studios. And with us from Austin, Texas, from member station KUT, Mario Loyola. He's a columnist with the conservative National Review magazine. Take it away, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. Hey.
Hey, what's up?
Fellas, welcome to the shop. How are we doing? Hey,
good to be back. I needed a trim.
Well, okay.
So true.
Last time they cut a little bit too much off the top, but I think we'll get it right this time.
Do you got any hair left to cut?
No, baby, I don't. That's the problem.
All right. Let's keep it in motion. You know, the Super Bowl is just a memory, but we're still talking about football. The NFL launched an investigation into unusual questions that were asked of some of the prospects at Scouting Combine. Here's Colorado tight end Nick Casa told. Here's what he told ESPN Radio Denver.
They ask you, like, do you have a girlfriend? Are you married? Do you like girls? Those kinds of things. And you know, it was just kind of weird, but, you know, they would ask you with a straight face.
Wow. A few other players made similar claims. So in addition to an investigation, the NFL has issued a warning. Any team asking about sexual orientation could face punishment. And correct me if I'm wrong, Arsalan, but that's illegal, isn't it? I mean, you can't ask anybody's sexual orientation. I mean, that's not on the job application, at least last time I checked. Well, I mean, that's against the law, right?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, and in many states it is. And, you know, sadly, while federal law protects certain characteristics from discrimination like race, religion, gender, things like that, the federal law has been slow to catch up on aspects like sexuality. So even though there's no federal protection, it then becomes a state law matter. And Yahoo Sports had a great article breaking down saying that currently 13 of the 32 NFL franchises would be prohibited by law from discrimination based on sexual orientation at the state level. Mm. And so it really depends on, you know, what team is asking the question, sadly. And this is not the first time that offensive or absurd questions have been asked. We remember when Dez Bryant was once asked by the Miami Dolphins if his mother was a prostitute.
When
Tampa Bay Buccaneers' Gerald McCoy was once quizzed by a potential employer about what kind of underwear he wears.
What?
So, you know, getting federal civil rights protections under employment law, you know, Title VII of the 1964 Civil Rights Act protects most of us when it comes to race, religion, gender, things like that. But to bring sexual orientation into the federal employment protection paradigm and landscape is something that this story, I think, is going to bring out more as we learn more.
Super Mario, you know, some men feel like they need to know if they're in the locker room with another with a gay man. But what do you
or
think of that argument?
Gay man.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I recall. You know, certain players for San Francisco wide receivers that like to go out of bounds before they get hit, and this has nothing to do with that, of course. I don't know what those guys were referring to over in San Francisco when they talked about that sweet stuff. It might have been a reference to certain other players that. But anyway,
I mean, do you think though, Mario? This is kind of. Can I ask a crazy?
Sure.
Is it possible that they're looking for another Jackie Robinson, to somebody sort of to break the sexual orientation barrier? Is it possible?
I thought about that. I thought they might want to know for marketing purposes.
That the NFL, in order to kind of make the case that they're looking for a gay Jackie Robinson, is it possible?
This would be the most Bass Ackwards way of doing it.
Of course. Yeah. But how else would you do it?
No, I think what you would do is you'd have someone who says, "Look, I'm very proud of my orientation. It's nothing to do with how I play the game, but okay, I'm going to be out here." And if and when they get out there, then the NFL comes behind them and supports them and reinforces them. That's how you find that Jackie Robinson. But, you know, with questions like this, this is intimidation. This is interrogation that has nothing to do with your talent, your skills, and your ability to perform the job. So that's, you know, the big part of this.
You assume that this is in response to the whole Manti Te'o business,
right,
where he
right.
had the girlfriend yeah. who turned out not to be a girlfriend and, you know, all of this. But I still just, I don't know.
It's dumb.
It is.
Okay.
It's dumb.
Okay. If you're just joining us, we're having our weekly visit to the barbershop with writer Jimmy Israel, civil rights attorney Arsalan Iftikhar, columnist Mario Loyola, and the former chair of the Republican National Committee, Michael Steele. Back to you, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. It's March 1st, Sequestration Day.
Hide your kids, hide your wives.
Right.
I heard there's a fire sale. I'm going.
The deadline to reach a deal on federal spending cuts has come. Guys, I almost didn't want to get out of bed today. I have no idea yet how this will affect me, but it just sounds bad, Michelle.
You know, and as we are talking, the president met with congressional leaders today, but as of right now, when we are talking, it isn't clear whether there's going to be any agreement on this. So if there is no agreement, it doesn't look like there is. I mean, they're meeting, but the body language is such that the rhetoric is all the same as it has been. Whether these automatic spending cuts, across-the-board spending cuts, go ahead. They'll be split between domestic and defense programs. It'll amount to about $1.2 trillion. And, of course, people are pointing fingers at each other. Each side blames the other for this, and there's been a whole lot of interesting sort of back and forth. And can I ask you, Chairman Steele, the Post Pew Research Center poll shows that more Americans blame Republicans than the president for not reaching a deal.
Yeah.
So
that's today.
How do the politics of this
work
for the Republicans?
The problem the president has here, you're right, that Pew poll shows that right now. And the difference is not inconsequential in one sense. But let's check where we are in 10 days. The under tabs of the Pew poll will also show you that the president is vulnerable here. Because at the end of the day, they're going to be looking for the leadership to come out of the White House on these big issues. They always do. It always works that way. So we'll see where the trend lines are, number one. Number two, you're talking about $82, $84 billion that's sequestered, of which in this fiscal year, $44 billion or so is going to hit on the table, number one. Number two, you're talking about something that's not going to happen today or tomorrow, but it is a sliding scale over time, which gives these numbnuts in Washington a chance to sit down and actually do what we hired them to do, and that is solve the problem.
Super Mario, thank you.
Sorry.
Thank you, Chairman.
I told you they cut a little close sometimes.
Mario Loyola, you know, I read it as kind of a legislative high-tech game of chicken, and we're all along for the ride. And how do you see it, man? What do you think of the cuts? And my man, skip the talking points, dude.
No, but look, the fact of the matter is that the one thing that these people could agree on, what was it, 2 years ago now almost, was that they could, you know, the world would not end if they could shave at least 2.4% off the federal budget. And the idea that the most bloated government in American history can't take a 2% cut is just ridiculous. I mean, any American ought to be able to see that it's ridiculous. And you can always scare people with, hungry children are going to go hungry and all that. And that's always going to work, and it's always going to move the polls. But the fact of the matter is, if you're worried about the needy, then stop blowing billions of dollars on Solyndra and focus on the needy. Money is not infinite.
Yeah, and if you're, you know, focused on the needy, then, you know, quit giving, you know, corporate tax loopholes to the wealthiest people in this country. What's interesting to note is the Senate, you know, recently had two different compromises that would have addressed the sequestration cuts. You know, first was a Republican alternative, which called for 100% cuts and 0% revenue, and which failed. And next came the Democratic compromise, which had a combination of spending cuts and new revenues from closed tax loopholes. It passed a majority, 51-49, but of course, what did the Republicans do? They filibustered it. Mm-hmm. They would filibuster their grandmamas if they would, you know, push ahead
if
their...
If she was spending too much of my money, yeah, I'm going to filibuster her, and that's the point. Look, we just put $300 billion in new taxes on the table, folks. Does that not mean anything? We gave you your tax increase on the top 2% or 1% of the country without any commensurate spending cuts. So let's, at this point, can we put some cuts on the table? Then we can wrap back around with loopholes.
Would you mind, though, answering that, though? The argument on the other side is that, I mean, the argument, the politics are, on the Democratic side, people say, well, you know what, the Republicans don't care because they just want the spending cuts. They want the cuts, and however the cuts come, that's good for their politics. On the other side of it, the Democrats say, well, you know what, if the president's really serious about it, then he needs to answer the argument and actually put some real reforms, particularly entitlements, on the table. And people say, well, you know, he hasn't really done that. So let the chips fall where they may. And he's going to have to take the hit. Well, what do you say to that?
Well, I think it's important for people to understand and keep in mind that, you know, virtually all or at least four out of the five of the last, you know, manufactured financial crises have been manufactured by the Republicans. I mean, you're talking fiscal
cliff. Oh, really?
But, I mean,
oh, okay. So, is that how that works?
You know, push the table back.
So, Arsalan, Michael took his earrings off.
Thank you. I sure did. And got my Vaseline. Look, let me.
So the $1 trillion deficits of the Obama era are no problem. We shouldn't be worried about that at all because we can just borrow. There's no consequence or limit.
No, but Republicans think that tax cuts are the solution to every ill in the world. If you break your arm, it's like, oh, let's rub some tax cuts on there. I mean, come on. I mean, that's not true.
That's not true. This is all about spending cuts, not tax cuts.
It's about spending. It's always been about spending.
Okay, folks, and now you understand why it is that we don't get anywhere in Washington. Because we should move the conversation to Austin. Maybe we'll get a little bit more. But yeah. We tried. Well, we'll keep our eyes on it because it obviously isn't getting resolved today.
Sure. I know you want to go on Austin, but I just do want to round up the point and say that is the crux of the issue. Both sides have to come to that sweet spot to understand exactly the relationship of tax cuts to tax increases to spending cuts. And no one wants to get into that room to actually deal with that point.
Well, Jimmy, before we let you go, Jimmy, you told me about this. I had no idea. I don't know how I missed this because I thought I was totally understanding of 9-year-old culture what's happening on with 9-year-olds. But there's an element of a 9-year-old that I totally missed, and his name is
Little Poopy, 9-year-old rapper. He becomes something of a viral sensation on YouTube. Here's a clip.
Call me Poopy Vuitton because my outfit's Louis. The kid got it like they want to childproof me. What? I'm a cocaine cowboy, a howdy doody. I'm a coke boy. I'm a coke boy.
Wow. Well,
call me Poopy.
As you heard, his lyrics cover cocaine and sometimes guns and sex, but he also rhymes about doing well in school. And for the record, he says he's talking about Coca-Cola.
Yeah, it's a drink. He says it.
And not yayo.
Oh, come
you know,
on.
But, you know, his father says it's all in fun. But now his family's under investigation for possible child neglect. You know what, Michael Steele? Here's what I think.
And Republicans had nothing to do with that.
Right.
So don't even start that.
I'm a parent, and I want somebody to start investigating these young underage girls doing these twerk videos. If you don't know what twerk videos are, you should look that up.
Look that up.
To me, that's more insidious than this young man having fun rapping. And his father's doing it. It really has really high production value. And I supported Free Poopy because you know YouTube they pulled one of his videos. I say Free Poopy. What do you say?
I'd say Free Poopy too.
Yeah,
it was like that child on A&E or whatever, Boo Boo or Poopy.
Honey Boo Boo.
Honey
Boo Boo. Try to act like you know that's your favorite show. So try to act like you haven't watched it.
Yeah, I do. I love it when they make their special meal. But look, the fact of the matter is, this is a lot about parenting. This is a lot about, you know, this culture, this generation of kids. I mean, they're much more in tune and much more, you know, progressive, if you will, not in a political sense, but just they're out there sort of sharing their talent. You know, as long as it's managed and it doesn't cross the lines, as you've noted in certain videos and other activities, yeah, it's fine.
And, Mario, what's your take?
Yeah, I think this is just another fine opportunity for America's busybodies to go about their own business. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if you don't like it, think about something you do like. And let people help people, you know, raise their kids. You know, let them mind their own business.
Yeah, it's troublesome though that he lets his little boy slap on grown women's behinds.
Yeah,
now that's troublesome. Arsalan, is this really different from any child actors in R-rated movies though?
No, and I think it's important to note that I think that this is probably the first time that an RNC chair has said the words "free poopy" in our American media.
I think it might be the last.
It might be. You know, what's interesting...
Thank you for making history, Chairman Steele.
What's interesting to me is that Lil Poopy is of Latino descent. And so my question would be, what if it was a little 9-year-old white kid who was rapping like this? Would people be calling on child services? So I think there.
Or the other example what? That people make is, well, the other question that people have is, you know, there have been kids who've appeared in, you know, R-rated
right.
movies.
Right, and like I was getting to that.
Pretty Baby, for right. example, where the
you have child
this
actors
very
that are,
young child was photographed nude for this.
Right, you have child
film,
actors that deal,
went on to
you know,
super
in
famous.
Much, much, much more, you know, adult and, you know, controversial issues, and nobody says boo about that. So
for
Lil Poopy, I say keep pimping.
I don't know. I'm glad people are talking about it. I do think it's a pro. I mean, you can't have it both ways. You can't say, you know what, parenting is a child, it takes a village, and that it's a shared responsibility. And when something goes wrong, people say, where are the other people? Why didn't the neighbors step in? Why didn't anybody say something? And then when people say something, say, oh, mind your business, stay out of it. I don't have a problem with people saying, you know what, is raising the question, is this really okay? I feel the same way about child actors in R-rated adult content, too, to be honest with you.
All right,
I really do raise questions about where's the free will there? Can you, as a 9-year-old, really make an appropriate decision about how you're going to present yourself? Remember, I actually talked to the actor.
Sure, they're paying you a lot of money.
Well, you're still 9. I mean, what's a lot of money to a 9-year-old? A ride in a limo?
However much their parents.
In a limo?
$5 is a lot of money for a 9-year-old.
Yeah, but that's just it. A lot of this is driven by the parents. And I think
all of it's driven by the parents.
Yeah, and... Yeah, well, sometimes not. I mean, some of these kids.
These kids got a lot of charisma.
They got charisma, but they got a lot of.
He got swag.
Yeah, he's got Jay-Z swag.
They also have a lot of pushback. You ever watch that show with the kids, the little girls who want to be, beauty queens?
I can't stomach that.
Oh my God! I mean, I spent 2 minutes watching that. And went, oh my God, who's the parent here? So you do have some of that part of it too. But I think at the end of the day. I think you're right, Michelle. The broader community will look at an act or action and determine whether or not it crosses an offensive line, and I don't think this necessarily does.
Yeah, I just think it's okay for us to talk about it. Saying. I think it's perfectly okay for us. I totally take Mario's point. If you don't dig it, don't click on it.
Right.
Just don't click on
don't
it.
Click
okay.
On
it's not
it.
On
right.
you know. It's not on CNN. You don't have to watch it.
And now that you've all gotten a sense of what I watch on the
we know
evening,
yeah.
So.
Free poopy.
Free poopy.
Jimmy Israel's a writer and culture critic. He's also adjunct professor of film and social media at Cuyahoga Community College. Michael Steele is the former chair of the Republican National Committee. He's a contributor to The Root and BET.com. Arsalan Iftikhar is a civil rights attorney and founder of TheMuslimGuy.com. They were all here with us in our Washington, D.C. studios. With us from member station KUT in Austin, Texas, Mario Loyola. He is the director of the Center for 10th Amendment Studies at the Texas Public Policy Foundation and a contributor to the National Review. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Ciao, ciao.
Yep, yep.
And remember, if you can't get enough Barbershop Buzz on the radio, look for our Barbershop podcast. That's in the iTunes store or at npr.org. That's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more on Monday.